friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We begin Wednesday's show in the southern African nation of Malawi, where a former architectural student is building her muscles and hoping to build a bigger place for women in competitive bodybuilding. Joining us now from Blantyre with a feature report is Lamech Masina, who will tell us about Malawi's first and only female professional bodybuilder, Doreen Kumbatira. Sporty greetings, Lamech.
Sporty greetings from Malawi, Sunny. Well, yes, Malawi's first and only female professional bodybuilder, Doreen Kumbatira, is leaving no stone unturned in her career development initiatives. The 35-year-old athlete previously won gold and bronze medals at international shows in the bikini fitness category. One of her gold medal-winning performances came in 2019 in South Africa, where she won the bikini category at the extreme bodybuilding competition, which attracted 18 contestants. The victory came about a month after she finished 8th out of 37 participants in the bikini category at the Arnold Classic Africa competition, also in South Africa. Now, Kumbatira, popularly known as D, says she has built enough muscles to compete in a bigger women's body fitness category, also known as figure category.
On stage, when I was doing bikini category, I was 68 kgs. Normally, I would be around 75 kgs. But now in the new category, I've had to put on some weight and muscle. So right now, I'm 90 kgs. Yes.
She says she has put on extra weight and muscle through rigorous daily gym workouts. However, Doreen says being Malawi's only professional bodybuilder is something she's not proud of. She says she hopes to inspire women to participate in the sport.
It would be amazing to have more female bodybuilders in the country. This will open up a lot of doors. It means local competitions will have people come in from outside the country to even compete and have competitions in Malawi. It would have maybe other companies come in the country that are doing supplements. Some, it can be a career. They can start competing outside the country. They can be models. They can do a lot of things with this.
However, many females say they shun the sport for fear of losing their feminine look, but Doreen denies this.
The thing is, there are some females, when they are doing this sport and they want to go to the extreme of looking like the male bodybuilders, they take hormones to look like men. So as women, naturally, we do not produce the male hormones like testosterone. I've been lifting for so many years. And if you see me walking, you still know that I'm feminine, I'm just fit. But I can never look like a man.
To debunk these fears, Kumbatira says she's planning to go to schools across Malawi, recruiting young women to the sport. In the meantime, Kumbatira, also a certified trainer, trains people in person and online. Grace Banda is among those benefiting from the training.
I had a problem with my pressure. So since I started working out with her, she's been giving me diets. We've been working out. I haven't had, you know, my high blood pressure the way I used to have. I've lost a considerable amount of weight. Yes, and I'm actually feeling good about myself.
Another athlete benefiting from Kumbatira's bodybuilding training is Ben Nyasuru.
I never had a trainer before. I never used to train with anyone. So I just needed help and guidance. And she just knew what my body needed, you know. The beauty about it was that when I got my vaccine, I experienced no side effects at all. And the people that got the vaccine on the same day, even my immediate boss, he didn't come to work the next day due to the side effects of the vaccine. I did not feel a thing at all. I was 100% fit and strong. And the confidence that it just gives me is just amazing.
Despite her success, Kumbatila says one challenge has been sponsorship. However, in 2019, a local water bottling company, Aqua Pure Water, offered her a partial sponsorship by supplying her with drinking water. And this year, the country's international fashion designer, Lily Alfonso, has offered to start sponsoring her outfit as well as her diet needs.
She has just shown another side of women that we never knew we have, but she's actually proving that you can always be who you want to be as a bodybuilder, as anything, because such kind of sports, we don't believe it in Malawi. But for her coming out as a bodybuilder, as a female, she'll be our ambassador for the sportswear.
Ruth Nzengo is a sports development officer for the Malawi National Council for Sports. She says Kumbatila is a product of the government's Women in Sports Commission, which advocates for gender balance in all sporting disciplines in the country.
Our rule is we want 50-50. When we are doing our programs, we try to get 50-50, but we don't want to just get women for sake of being women. We want people that want to participate. If we can't get 50-50, at least 60-40.
She encourages Kumbatila to work extra hard so that she can get more sponsors and support from the commission. As of now, Kumbatila says she is working hard to excel in future international competitions. The Arnold Classic Africa bodybuilding event, originally scheduled for May in South Africa, has been postponed to later in the year because of COVID-19 related travel restrictions. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Lamek Masina in Blanta, Malawi.
Sporty greetings, everyone. This is Ambassador Mary Onyal, Olympic medalist, 5-time African champion in the sprint event. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Mary Onyali competed in 5 Olympics for Team Nigeria. With the Tokyo Games now 86 days away, we'll hear again from another former African sprinter who competed in 4 Olympics for Team Ghana. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Yawa Fusularbi reports from Accra, Ghana. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Now, Ghana's 100-meter women's national record has stood at 11.14 seconds for the past 17 years. It was a record that was set at the Olympic Games in Athens in 2004. For many years, many female athletes have come through to try to break it, but have all fallen short. The woman whose record still holds is Vida Enim. Vida left the sport a decade ago and now lives in the United States, where she is raising her family. It has been many years, but the feeling of smashing that national record under the Athens lights is one that has never left her.
It was Olympics, and I broke that record in the first round in my heat. But the second round, unfortunately, I got injured because I was hoping to do more better or to go more faster than the first heat. Well, the feeling was good when you see that now you are the record holder in the whole Ghana. I was young, and then I feel more excited. I was so happy. I feel like the enjoyment, I could not explain it how I felt that day. Because even the first round when I broke, my coach was like, wow, you run so easy. And the way you run, you did not stress yourself. It was more easy. I was surprised that this time came out and that thing. So the feeling was okay.
Enim got into athletics by accident. She only wanted to try it because everyone seemed to love it. She grew up in Atebubu Amanteng, a town in the Bunuavu region in Ghana's Middle Belt. In a junior high school's athletics competition, she decided to join the track team. In that competition, she won not one, but 3 races. She was the outright star in the town after those races and decided to take it up to the national level after that. As the 100-meter record holder, Vida concedes that there are times that she goes online just to check to see if her record has been broken.
That was, let's say, some years back that I was checking. But for the past 2 years or 3 years now, I have not checked Ghana Athletics. I think when I got pregnant, and this is because this was not school, so I did not have time to check all that. But some years back, I was checking, like checking on the internet to see how the Ghana Athletics was going. But for some years now, no, I have not followed Ghana Athletics.
Every athlete has a year where everything seems to be working in their favor. In Vida Neem's case, that year was 2006. She sweats medals and won on some big stages.
Yeah, 2006, well, because I came out from injury. Since that 2004, after the Olympics, after I break the national record, and the injury took me for so many, let's say, years or months. So I came out the whole 2005. I was down. I did not compete much because of the injury. So I prepared myself very well that year. My coach took time. We went to training camp and other things. So 2006, it was a surprise because I could not believe that I would win that good. And the way I ran that event, especially the relay, I did not even expect something like that. So that year, it was like a year for me. It was the best year for me.
After a flurry of medals and titles, including one gold medal at the African Games in 2007 and several bronze medals, Vida is now out of the sport for good. The only focus for her now is her family.
I think I left the athletics since 2000 after the Olympics in London. Yeah, I think that was the last time I competed for Ghana. Well, not so much. I've been working here and there, not much. I was just working on my own, how to live my life. I decided to stay out from athletics because I do not want to get involved in athletics. I want to try something else. I want to try something different from athletics. So I've been working with one or two things since I left athletics. I'm not planning to become athletics because already my husband is already a coach and it will not help me. Since I have a child at home, it will not help me. So I decided to stay out of athletics. I don't want to become a coach. That's why I tried to do something different out from athletics.
Ghana's glory days in athletics seem far gone now, but the former sprinter believes the country can be back to the top again with proper planning.
We get them into competition. We prepare them. We will get there. Because the athletes that we have in Ghana and the athletes that we have in Europe, they are not better than those who are in Ghana. But the Ghana, the problem is we don't have the facility. We don't have the things that we will use to prepare ourselves. But here, they have everything. So if we get everything together, if we prepare ourselves, get everything together, we'll be better. Africa, we are strong.
Vida Neem's 17-year national record still holds, and looking at the Ghanaian athletic terrain, it may take a while before that record comes down. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
My name is Shaku Samed, junior brother of Basi Samed Sasamed, a light heavyweight at the Ghana national team and an Olympic qualifier for 2020. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African golf, the Ghanaian Amos Korbla won the recent Ivory Coast Open tournament. Korbla beat the Zambian Sidney Wemba in a playoff to win the title. For more details, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the president of African Tour Golf Foundation, Harris Okata.
The tournament ended in a dramatic way with Sidney Wemba from Zambia going on a playoff against veteran golfer Amos Korbla. Amos chipped into the last hole 18 to level to square Sidney for a playoff, and eventually he won the tournament. It was a tough tournament with over 70 players from different countries on the field.
Any lessons from the Ivory Coast Open tournament for Nigerian golf players who participated?
We learned a lot from this tournament because the contingent of Nigerian players, which were one of the highest contingent on the venue, performed tremendously well. I mean, almost all Nigerian players, all of them made the cut, and they occupied a top 10 position outside the first and the second position, won by Amos Korbla, Sidney Wemba, and Vincent Toga from Ghana.
Do you have other international tournaments later in the year? And how is the foundation assisting players attend some of these tournaments?
Yes, towards the end of the year, we're going to host the Nigerian Masters. This will be in November. It's going to be one of the biggest events, which is why we're going through with the race to Nigerian Masters. As we have not been able to stage the Nigerian Open, the African Tour deemed it fit to ride on with the road to Nigerian Masters. And since we've been doing Nigerian Masters since 2016, we try and see and maintain and believe that it's going to tremendously blossom to become a bigger event on the continent. The players have just been departed from Yamoussoukro. We are now in Abidjan, and we're going to leave Abidjan flying back to various countries where the players came to play here.
That's Harris Okata, the president of African Tour Golf Foundation. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abidjan, Ivory Coast.
Sporty greetings. This is Harris Okata, president of African Tour Golf Foundation. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Harris. Now let's go to Spain, where Real Madrid and visiting Chelsea drew 1-1 Tuesday in the first leg of their UEFA Champions League football semifinal. Both goals came in the first half. In the 14th minute, Chelsea's Christian Pulisic became the first U.S. national team player to score a goal in a Champions League semifinal. In the 29th minute, the Frenchman Karim Benzema equalized for Real, winners of a record 13 European titles. Speaking after the match, the 22-year-old American Pulisic said it was a proud moment to score his goal, but the job is nowhere near done. Chelsea will return home to London for the return leg May 5th, needing a victory or a scoreless draw to advance to the Champions League final. At Tuesday's post-match news conference, Chelsea's German manager Thomas Tuchel had this to say.
We played a very strong first half. We should have won the first half. Unfortunately, we were a bit unlucky and lacked composure and precision in the decision-making in the opponent's box, but we were very, very strong in the first half. Unfortunately, we conceded a goal from set piece. Otherwise, we defended throughout the whole match very, very strong. And that's pretty much the story, no other story. We don't believe in these stories. We believe in ourselves and in what it takes to bring top performances. And now we need every day to recover, play Fulham, and then we will be ready for next game.
Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel adds that it's now halftime in the series against Real Madrid, and his team will need to fight for every centimeter and every advantage. Once again, Chelsea will host Real Madrid May 5th in the decisive second leg at Stamford Bridge in London. The winner of the Chelsea-Real Madrid semifinal will play the winner of the other Champions League semifinal between Paris Saint-Germain And Manchester City. That semi-final kicks off later Wednesday evening in the French capital. The UEFA Champions League final will be played May 29th in Istanbul, Turkey.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This Sunny Side of Sports programming note, Prince Nesta will be hosting the show on Thursday and Friday, and I'll be back behind my trusty Voice of America microphone on Monday, May 3rd.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The Olympic men's and women's football tournaments will kick off before the opening ceremony. The 12-team women's event begins on July 21st, and the 16-team men's tournament starts on July 22nd. International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach comments.
When on 23rd of July this year, the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020 get finally underway, they will send a powerful message of solidarity, resilience, and peace to the world. And today's draw of the Olympic football tournament is another important step on this road to Tokyo. These Olympic Games Tokyo 2020 will be the light at the end of the dark tunnel we are all still in these very difficult moments. And there, the Olympic football tournament begins even before the opening ceremony. So football will send the very first light at the end of this tunnel to the Japanese people and to all the billions of fans around the world.
With Olympic football shining the light in that dark tunnel, let's review the groupings for the men's and women's tournaments. Ladies first. And here's the FIFA host in Lausanne, Switzerland.
Let me recap the groups and the path to glory for our 12 participating teams. In Group E, playing in Sapporo, will be Japan, Canada, Great Britain, and Chile. Group F, playing in the Miyagi Stadium in Miyagi, will be China, Brazil, Zambia, and the Netherlands. And in Group G, playing in Tokyo Stadium, we have Sweden, our current world champions, USA, Australia, and New Zealand.
New Zealand will also feature in the men's Olympic football tournament, which also includes three African teams, South Africa, Egypt, and Ivory Coast. Here is the FIFA host for the men's draw in Lausanne, Switzerland.
Let me very briefly recap the completed groups for all of you. So we have in Group A, which is going to be played in Tokyo Stadium, we have Japan, South Africa, Mexico, and France. In Group B, that will be played in the Ibaraki Kashima Stadium, we have New Zealand, Korea Republic, Honduras, and Romania. In Group C, which will be placed in the Sapporo Dome, we will have Egypt, Spain, Argentina, and Australia. Finally, in Group D, which is being played in the International Stadium of Yokohama, we would have Brazil, Germany, Côte d'Ivoire, and Saudi Arabia.
We just heard how the Brazilians and the Germans will be playing their group matches at the International Stadium in Yokohama, Japan. 19 years ago, I was at that same stadium in Yokohama where I reported for the Voice of America on Brazil beating Germany 2-0 to lift the FIFA World Cup. And the teams also share more recent Olympic football history. In 2016, playing on home soil in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil beat Germany on penalty kicks to win the gold medal in Olympic men's football. Both the men's and women's Olympic football tournaments will be played in a group stage, followed by quarterfinals, semifinals, and then bronze medal and gold medal matches.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ike. In National Basketball Association action Tuesday night, the Milwaukee Bucks scored a 114-104 road victory against the Charlotte Hornets. The Bucks got another excellent all-around performance from their two-time league most valuable player, Giannis Antetokounmpo. We'll hear from Giannis in this report from the AP's Dave Ferry.
Giannis Antetokounmpo had 29 points and 12 rebounds as the Bucks downed the Hornets 114-104 to avoid a season sweep. Antetokounmpo was 11 of 19 from the field and also dished out 8 assists. Milwaukee built a 62-45 halftime lead behind 15 points and 8 rebounds from the two-time reigning MVP.
As long as I see that, you know, my team is in a good place and we're building good habits and we're defending and, you know, we're playing well with one another, I'm happy.
Brooke Lopez added 22 points, and Chris Middleton scored 17 for Milwaukee. Devontae Graham scored 25 points, and Miles Bridges added 21 with 10 rebounds for the Hornets, who had their two-game winning streak snapped. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. In Tampa, Florida, the Brooklyn Nets clinched a playoff berth with a 116-103 victory over the Toronto Raptors. The AP's John Letherby reports.
Jeff Green led the way with 22 points as Brooklyn locked up the playoff spot after a 116-103 victory over Toronto. The Nets center added 8 boards to his effort, while Kevin Durant finished with 17 points and 10 rebounds, going 3 of 5 from three-point range.
Toronto did a good job of chunking up the game. Every time I touched the ball in my spots, they'd come to double, so I had to just be patient and find the right pass and guys were open all night.
Blake Griffin chipped in with 17 points off the bench for the Nets. Kyle Lowry had 24 points for the Raptors. He led all scorers, while OG Anunoby added 21. I'm John Letherby.
Thanks, John. In the results of the 4 other NBA games on Tuesday night, the Oklahoma City Thunder beat the Boston Celtics 119-115. The Portland Trail Blazers blaze their way past the Indiana Pacers 133-112. The Minnesota Timberwolves defuse the Houston Rockets 114-107. And the Dallas Mavericks scored a big 133-103 victory over the Golden State Warriors. Wraps up the April 28th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.